Please open with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians. We're continuing our series on the book of Galatians, chapter 3. And we're going to read from verses 1 through 10. Just a little reminder that those who heard the sermon from a couple of weeks ago, that Apostle Paul is dealing with the Galatians over the false gospel that it was spread out there, and he continually reassures that Christians are not saved by the law or by any contribution of their obedience of the law, but by Christ alone through the gospel and by faith alone. So please give diligent attention to the reading of the Word of God. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Thus far reading of God's holy and infallible word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we thank you for these words that you challenge Galatians, Lord, because you want us to know the pure truth of the gospel. So help us now by the Spirit of Christ to understand this portion and bless us, Lord, as we open these words. Bless us to believe in them and to follow them, Lord, as your faithful servants. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, very recently, a couple weeks ago, we have celebrated the Reformation Day, the great day in church history, even in human history, especially to the Western world. The great day when the lost message of the good news was recovered. And the significance of that great event is the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because without the gospel message, there is no church. Without the gospel, we will not be here today. You know, the most important thing happening in the world today is here. in the Church of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important going on. The most important message that is proclaimed in many churches who proclaim the true gospel, that's the most important and significant thing is going on around the world right now. It's not the football game. It's not the birthday party, visiting friends, or whatever. It's the worship of holy and living God. And because of this message, we're here this morning. And by God's grace, church was able to recover the message of the good news. And the heart of the good news is the doctrine of justification by faith alone. You may heard what Dr. Martin Luther said, the great reformer. This is a paraphrased form of his words, that justification is the article where the church stands or falls. And another great reformer, John Calvin, said, the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ is the main hinge on which religion turns. And these two quotes are solid and sound and accurate. But I prefer the Apostle Paul's way of crisp expression and persuasion as he writes to Galatians in chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Just imagine receiving such a harsh letter from your pastor. And in the letter, he's calling you foolish. Actually, it also means mindless idiot, mentally sick, and forgive me, just stupid, plain stupid person. This is what the Greek word means. Well, it does sound very harsh and unthoughtful, but in reality, it's not. Because for the Apostle Paul, this case in Galatian church, it's not that he is just dealing with some secondary issue, some unimportant doctrine. He was so emotional because it's not a secondary doctrine is at stake here. It's the main doctrine on which church stands or falls, or a hinge on which Christian religion turns, namely salvation by faith alone, the justification by faith alone. And it's the heart of the gospel. The core message of the scriptures is at stake in the Galatian church. And as a result, it's a life and death issue. The life and death of the living souls. The Apostle Paul didn't care about the hurt feelings of the Galatians. He called them foolish because they distorted the gospel. The gospel that he preached to them earlier. The gospel through which they have been saved. And by calling them foolish Galatians, these Galatians might have been upset with his tone and harsh words, but it's better than ending up in the hell. And love speaks the truth. And Paul loved them in Galatian church, and he spoke the truth of the gospel, even in this harsh manner. And God speaks this truth of the gospel through these harsh words to you today, this morning as well. Because God does love you and he wants you to know the truth. And God may speak it harshly when it comes to the message of salvation, because it's very serious business. This message must stay and remain pure because the central figure of the gospel is God's Son, is our Lord Jesus Christ. he who solely obtained this great salvation for his people. By great price, even his own blood. And to reject this very fact is to reject salvation of God. Even to doubt this fact is to dismiss salvation of Jesus Christ. But we still do doubt. And we do it quite often. We may not openly preach another gospel as some of the Galatians did, but we do preach it secretly in our hearts and minds. Thus we are also become fools like them. And I will explain to you how do we do this a little later. It all began on that very day when Adam doubted God's word and listened to the lies of the devil. He brought all of us, the entire mankind, to this particular sin, sin of constant doubt and unbelief of God's word, especially the gospel message. God says in Psalm 92, "How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know. The fool cannot understand this." Or Psalm 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So you see that the natural man is a fool in his natural state. And God must illuminate a fool's mind and heart for him to know God and to believe the gospel. And being a fool for the unbeliever, the gospel does sound foolish. How can a strong God become weak, become man, and die? And even to us, to believers, we could act foolishly sometimes like the Galatians did, and the gospel sounds too good to be true to us. And this sin of doubt and unbelief was present not only in the Galatian church, but it's constantly present in every human heart, in many churches today. And let me repeat it again. Each one of us, we also preach this false gospel to ourselves in our hearts and minds. How? By placing our trust in something else, not in Christ alone, but in Christ and something else. And if some of you may think and say, I don't think so. You don't think that you preach a false gospel to your heart? You don't think so? Well, you see, even now you doubt and question God's word. The prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 17, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So the Galatians here was bewitched to believe that the gospel is not sufficient for salvation and that they must continue to observe some of the Old Testament Mosaic laws, such as circumcision, some other laws, and for that, Paul called them foolish. And Jesus Christ has come to fulfill all of the Old Testament laws. And he did it not for himself, but for you and for the Galatians. And to refuse to receive this great accomplishment done by Jesus Christ is like to slap our Lord on the face. It's like to spit on his face. Of course, for the Apostle Paul, the purity of the doctrine of salvation is the primary cause here to stand his ground. But at the same time, he couldn't understand the Galatians. He couldn't comprehend them because It did sound so foolish to reject the free gift of God, Christ Himself, the heaven, and to try to pay it off of when it's offered completely free of charge. You know, Jews are known to be very good with their money and very savvy economically. Maybe that's why for the Apostle Paul it was so hard to comprehend why to pay when it's completely free. And we know that partially it was the problem which came through the false teachers who bewitched them. You know, when we take our eyes off the Lord, of the Lord, and from His gospel, and being His sheep, and as you know, sheep are pretty foolish animals, we also often deviate from the truth of the gospel. For example, quite often, we fight our battles not for the purity of the gospel, not for the preaching of the message of life to dying souls, but we bought into devil's lie. And we fight for the false gospel that is proclaimed to us through the Fox News, as if these people are wrapped themselves in the Bible and give us the true gospel. These days, many Christians fight, you know, against homosexuality. We place great care and comfort on the presidential race and even very recent event of Islamic terrorism, particularly what happened a couple days ago in France. Don't misunderstand me. It's very sad and terrible what is happening in our world. What happened in France. Those things are evil sins before our God. But you see, these sins are not unforgivable. The Apostle Paul in the Galatian church was dealing with much more serious issue. When you mess with the gospel message and believe in something else, distorting it, then that could be a fatal. Paul was concerned for the purity of the gospel because it directly affects people's souls. And our Lord Jesus Christ was also concerned for the purity of the gospel. All these things happening around the world, we should know that the only remedy is the gospel. We cannot preach another one. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own souls, says Jesus. Or in Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. You know, there were present at that season some that told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled or mixed up with the sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. On those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men and that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So our Lord wants us to keep our eyes on the right perspective, on the right priorities. And evil things do happen, and people get killed in plane crashes, and they killed by natural disasters, and people commit horrible evils, and killing each other, like what happened in France. But you must stay focused. many very terrible things are happening. And our flesh is weak, and the devil is cunning, and he using these things to distract you, to distract us from the most important task, the preaching of the true gospel. Because without the gospel, people do go to hell. And that is truly horrifying thing. And all humanity may comfort people, you know, in Russia, the plane that just crashed, in France, with all kind of very kind and comforting words. But if it's not pure gospel, it doesn't make any significance. It doesn't make any difference at the end. You know, all humanity can send thousands of tons of the humanitarian help to the, you know, that turmoil place in Middle East or Africa or in Japan where there was tsunami and earthquakes. But without the gospel, they will still perish. 2 weeks ago, a Russian passenger plane crashed. 224 people were killed. After 2 weeks, everybody forget about it. 2 days ago, Muslim terrorists killed over 100 people in France and wounded even more. I bet after 2 weeks, people will forget about it, these things. As one of the scene in the, I watched recently, a film, Hotel Rwanda, one of the characters says, you know, people hear these things while eating their salad in the comfort of their home, and they would say, and they would shake their head and would say, oh my God, and after 2 hours they forget. Why? Because ultimately people, they don't care. They're spiritually dead. Only the true gospel changes callous hearts. Only true gospel make people to truly care for dying souls. And with that kind of gospel, you have been saved. And with that kind of love, you must express your compassion to the dying souls of your neighbor, both home and abroad. Let's move on. To understand verses 6 to 9, we must first understand the authority of Abraham in Israel among the Jews. The great patriarch Abraham was the same, he had the same authority as the George Washington for the Americans. You know, Abraham was the founding, George Washington was the founding father of this nation, and Abraham was the founding father of the Jewish nation. And the Apostle Paul brings this case of the Abraham's faith to the attention to the Galatians here, to testify and to prove that even the great father Abraham, you know, no matter how great he may be, he was saved and he was righteous before God by faith alone, not by any works. The same faith as you have. You know, it's in our sinful nature to elevate a mere man to the point of God. And based on man's achievements, we try to deify a fellow human being. This is what the Jews did with Abraham. And many other cultures do this even today. But Paul says Abraham was not special here. He is not our Savior. His Savior was special. Jesus is special. And Abraham was saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by his works. And by the same faith by which the Abraham was saved, God is also saves the Gentiles, like Galatians, like all of you. And there the Apostle Paul quotes Genesis 12, in Genesis 12:3. to demonstrate God's covenant faithfulness to Abrahamic promise, his faithfulness to you, his covenant people. It is in Christ, it is Christ who saves us by faith, which he himself grants us. Therefore, all credit goes to him alone, because God said, I will bless, not Abraham who blesses you, but God does. So let us not even elevate any man. The children, you shouldn't elevate your parents' faith, because that faith will not save you. Your faith will save you. And living in a Christian home, children, will not save you either. But your faith in Christ will do. And let us not even elevate our faith, but elevate Christ alone. Because Christ is our righteousness, not our faith. Faith is only a tie between Christ's righteousness and you. A Scottish minister, Horatius Bonar, in this book, Everlasting Righteousness, he says, faith is not our Savior. It was not faith that it was born in Bethlehem and died on Golgotha for us. Faith is not Christ, nor the cross of Christ. Faith is not the blood, nor the sacrifice. It's not the altar, nor the laver, nor the mercy seat, nor the incense. It does not work, but accepts a work done ages ago. It does not wash, but leads us to the fountain open for sin, for uncleanness. It does not create, it merely links us to that new thing which was created when the everlasting righteousness was brought in. So finally, what is your faith? Is it a foolish faith, or is it the righteous faith? Faith that works salvation, or faith which receives Christ for free? In Galatians 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the Apostle Paul quotes here the book of Deuteronomy 27 and Jeremiah 11. But he also says in Romans 4, 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We're the church today because we have the message. Without the gospel message, there is no church. Without the true and pure gospel, there is no true and pure church. And this is our faith, and this is our doctrine. And John Machen, in his famous book, Christianity and Liberalism, says this, indifferentism about doctrine makes no heroes of the faith. So I will call you this morning. Don't be a fool. Salvation is by faith in Christ alone. And don't be a fool, but be a hero of the faith who stands for the truth of the gospel, both in this life, in private life, in family life, in secret life, both in church and in the world, both in workplaces and family life, in your school, everywhere. Be a hero of the true faith that was once delivered to us by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, We thank you, Lord, for the true gospel that you open to us. Your Spirit testifies in our hearts. And Lord, help us to grasp it, to hold it with strong grip. Lord, may it manifest it not only through our mouths and expressions of our words, but also in our lives. As we go and live this week, Lord, help us to trust this gospel. Help us to be heroes of faith, to stand for it, not compromising it, even a little tittle, Lord, of it. As Paul calls these Galatians foolish, Lord, we don't want to be called foolish. We want to stand for this truth. So help us with your strength to do so. Help us, Lord, to honor your name. Strengthen us in these things. And we also praise you, and we pray as our Lord himself taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.